And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico. And we're on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, although we weren't on last week because we, as in me, we was on vacation.
You was?
He means I was, but you said we.
Right, and I said we because I mean me.
Oh, man, here we go.
Just never mind. Anyway, welcome back to the program. It's me, Phil Hendry. And, you know, like I say, I'm very happy to be back. We took the week off last week. Yeah, we took the week off last week. Visited Bubba the Love Sponge, my good, close, personal pal down there in Tampa Bay. Almost talked to Liz Wilde, who is also a radio veteran and another great friend. It's funny, you know, when you start talking about the people that you know in the business. And there's so many people I've always said to people, I never make friends in this business.
Well, yes, you do. You make girlfriends.
Yes, I make girlfriends in this business. I'm kidding. Well, sort of.
Yeah, that's the only reason why you have a girlfriend in a business is because...
Shut up, bud. You know, if I'm going to talk about my life, I'll talk about my life. I don't need you to do it.
No, you're going to say that, though.
What?
You know what you will say?
I said I don't have friends in this business, except girlfriends. I'm saying I'm kidding. I do have friends in this business. I just don't really think of it from time to time. I'll say, well, no, I never make friends in the radio business because being in radio is not, it's not like being in a war in the literal sense. I would never even go so far as to approach comparing it to that. But from a psychological standpoint, when you make a friend at a radio station, people are getting fired so much in this business that suddenly they're gone, you know, and you never see them again. And radio is kind of like that. One minute, you don't really want to be too close to people because the next thing you know, they're up and they're gone and they're down a road. They're working another station someplace. But so in talking to Bubba and talking to Liz, it was cool to talk to those guys because... You know, we actually rapped about things other than radio. Although with Bubba, we were talking about radio. He's got a great, man, that cat's got a great setup down there. Man, I'm going to tell you what. He's got it going on. And he is all self-contained. I got to love a guy like that. In other words.
What does that mean, self-contained? You know, Phil, in the, you and the rest of you Bo Brummel types, you think you're going to get it done without the radio technocracy. I say you can't do it.
Well, I'm telling you, yes, you can. What is it with you with that speech thing?
What are you talking about?
I'm saying you can't do it.
I'm telling you, you can't get by snubbing and thumbing and do... What are you doing when you do it to the nose?
You're snorting.
Not snorting.
You mean thumbing.
Thumbing. You're thumbing your nose at the radio establishment. And don't think I didn't see what you twitted out or whatever when you said that radio has contempt for talent.
Okay, Margaret, let's not, you know, can we not do this?
Yeah, you're the guy that said it.
Thank you, bud. You're the one that said it.
All I said was the following thing. It was nice to see Bubba's setup, and it's nice to see anybody in our business that is taking the bull by the horns, if you'll pardon the expression.
What's not dirty about that?
It could be dirty.
Yes, it could be dirty. That's why I said, pardon the expression. It's nice to see in this day and age of the entrepreneurial spirit, real entrepreneurs, not just people talking about it, and especially in our business where the large, you know, these large, whatever you want to call them, Margaret.
What are you laughing at?
Don't say it, okay?
Penis?
What did I?
Ow! Ow!
Yeah! These large companies... they're there, but they don't control everything as they used to. And so there's a lot of guys that are being, like I said, the entrepreneurial spirit has grasped them. So going down there and watching Bubba's operation, this cat's got everything going. He's all self-contained. He's got his merchandise going on, man. He's got the satellite dish thing going on himself. He owns a piece of property where they do video casts. They do a lot of video production with a lot of goofy stunts that they do. He's got, post-production. He's got all kinds of staff of people that are cutting up tape and sending out best ofs all over the freaking universe. Guy's got the satellite room, you know, his Griggs room where he's got all of his cabling. Everything is beautiful. He's got that setup, man. He's got a place where he does his show, and then there's a setup for bands that come in that are playing in town,
and they give a live performance.
Yes.
Are they paid?
Yeah, this is how they're paid. They're given exposure.
Well,
Yeah, that's not...
Yeah, it is, okay? If you're not the biggest band in the world and you get a little exposure on morning radio, and he's got a network of stations, and then they have something there at Bubba's studio, which we got to have here. Whether or not we use it on the video cast, I don't care, but we must get it. And it is a shower, an all-glass shower, so if you bring in an audience of people, they can sit and stare at two naked girls taking a shower.
Hey.
Outstanding.
You got a video camera?
Well, that makes me want to... I can taste the throw-up.
What's it taste like?
What I had for dinner, if it's any of your business.
What'd you have?
I had taquitos. Do I have to...
Never mind. What did you answer him for? You had taquitos.
Yes, it tastes like taquitos mixed, well...
With liver bile.
With liver bile, yes. You can laugh if you want, Phil, but I don't want to hear about this.
Well, then, Margaret, put your fingers in your ears or whatever you want.
La, 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 la.
Good. So, yeah, he has a setup where you can actually say to two women, would you mind going in there, stripping down naked and taking a shower, and then we'll just turn the cameras on? Oh, but not at all. Thank you. You're welcome. And then you just, you know. So that, to me, that's the future. That's the way to go. Now, is it porn? Maybe. See, one of the... there's a million things I could tell you guys about. All right. So we did that. Like I said, I saw a house down there I want to buy, and my good close personal friend Liz Wild looked into it for me, and she said, not a problem at all, Phil, $1.2 million. And I said, I may look rich. You mean I don't? I can tell you that I are rich, but not that rich. I'm rich in soul and in mind and in the poetic, the love that I have for the universe, but I ain't about to lay out that kind of jack unless I sell my house right here on the sunny coast, and I head down there to the sandbar that is Florida. So Debbie Daly is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to talk about that. She does her show, and is doing her show, I should say, all this week from Miami.
Debbie Daly?
Debbie Daly, the only hearing-impaired morning show host in America. She does a morning show for public radio, Daly's Daily, and she's doing it all this week from Miami. And I asked her why, and she said because she had miles.
Well, she's got some miles. Oh, for God. She's got miles left on her American Airlines.
What are you upset about?
You weren't supposed to say that. You were supposed to say, well, she's in Florida because there's a very...
There's a what?
A story.
What story?
Phil.
Luther got a cover for her.
So she's down there on vacation, she's using up some miles on her American Airlines, and I'm supposed to pretend like there's a big story going on down there? What's the big story in Florida?
Not really anything there unless somebody set fire to some, and then you have one.
What did you just say?
What is he talking about?
Yeah, there's no big story in Florida unless someone set fire to it.
So somebody, he's saying if there was a brush fire.
If there's a brush, well, great. No, there's no brush fires. Anyway, Debbie Daly be coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Man, I can be gone for a week, I could be gone for a month, I could be gone for a year, bud. You don't make any more sense today than you did over a week ago. You know that?
Yeah, well, neither do you.
Neither do I? When I sign my name on the check, does it look like my name or...
Well...
Uh-huh. All right, we're going to come back here with Debbie Daly to talk a little bit about the Florida experience, the Miami experience. This has got nothing to do with Florida, but it's a state with similar weather, Hawaii, and there is a sex superbug that has broken out in Hawaii. So, in other words, those animals over there, whatever it is you guys are doing, do you mind using some soap after you... I'm kidding. We'll find out what it is when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Go down there and see everything.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Woo!
So you do, huh, Debbie? Debbie Daly joining us from Miami here this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Debbie is hearing impaired. However, she's understandable. It takes, I know, Bud, you have worked with her.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Margaret, do you understand Debbie?
I do understand Debbie. I don't know that we want to play it up too much because Debbie is on the radio.
Okay. She does a morning show for public radio. She's in Miami right now and is traveling to a benefit for her at one of the hotels there in Bal Harbour. And Debbie, it's great to talk with you. Glad for you. Glad. First of all, we're very proud of you. Speak up, dear.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. And we're very happy that you joined us.
Well, I'm really happy to be on the program, and I hope that whatever we can do and listen to me join you, to be on your show.
I wanted to ask you about, we were talking about Florida and broadcasting in Florida. I know you're originally from there. Is that why you're visiting?
Well, I'm down here because I wanted to take a look at the real estate opportunity because the real estate market coming back, you know that?
I heard about that, Debbie.
Yeah, and the real estate market coming back, and I guess, you know, with me and you, I'm not here.
Well, the real estate market coming back in Florida and a little bit in California probably portends good things for the rest of the country. But by the way, you're doing the show from where?
Well, we're doing the radio right now from WBLO or BLU.
WBLU?
Yeah, I know.
Your kid brother works there? Our guest is Debbie Daly from Public Radio. She is hearing impaired. So that's why some of you may have, although I know I wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah, their contract.
Well, you know, you're making me stimulated.
Say that again, dear.
And you're stimulated.
Yeah, she stipulates that you don't bring up the fact that she is hearing impaired.
Exactly, and I apologize.
Okay.
Debbie Daly with us, though, from Public Radio. She's doing Daly's Daily. It's very late for you to be up, and I appreciate you getting up for us.
Well, you're not a union.
That's what he said?
Yeah, you're not a union.
Oh, that's cute, dear. All right, that's what he said. What preceded that again?
You're not a union.
I said, we're really glad that you got up for us. That's what he said.
Well, I mean, we don't need that.
Well, I see saying it's sexist to say that's what she said, but it would make more sense, wouldn't it?
No, I'm not even bringing it up.
All right, we won't bring it up. Debbie Daly is our guest. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we'll take some calls for it. Now, Debbie, my other question for you has to do with Rush Limbaugh. We're going to read this story. The question here is Rush Limbaugh to blame for the falling ad rates? Now, I know you work on a public station, so you guys don't have to worry about advertising so much. But to the extent that you're familiar with that, what do you think?
Well, you know, I really think you're Rush Limbaugh, you know, and the chicken's coming home to roost.
Yeah, the chicken's coming home, home to roost, yeah.
And so I think it was Rush Limbaugh, you know, and then I really think the chicken's coming home to roost.
Well, darling, other than the chickens coming home to roost, what do you think? So when you say that...
Well, what I really mean is this. When Rush Limbaugh is talking on the right-wing stadium, people will be upset with him, you know?
People will be upset with... Well, you're calling his political point of view right-wing fascism.
You heard me right. I don't stutter.
I'm sorry?
I don't stutter.
No, I know you don't stutter, and I did hear you, but I...
Oh, God.
Are you laughing?
No, he's not. He sneezed.
I just sneezed.
Because if you're laughing, it might lead to another simulation.
What? Excuse me, what, bud?
Yeah, if you're laughing, that she just said it violates a stipulation.
Yeah, I know it violates a stipulation.
Nothing?
Yeah, I'm here. We're having a little bit of a... no, I understand that the two stipulations are I can't laugh at you, and I would never. I would never. I want you to know that.
Oh, God, what a lion.
What's that?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Margaret went...
Didn't you mean a lying horse?
No, she didn't say anything about a lying horse. She was talking about the horse. She was talking about Orb and the...
Yeah, I was talking about the Derby.
Oh, the Derby. You know my dream is here?
What's your dream?
My dream is to jump to... I wouldn't think I'd go with you, Margaret.
Well, Well, darling, aren't you sweet? You want to sing My Old Kentucky Home with me?
Yeah, let me ask you, where are you repeating your damn name?
I'm repeating everything you're saying?
You didn't get any in.
Well, that's... No, that's just... because I'm having a hard time hearing.
Well, why didn't you get your ears hurt?
You're really...
Yeah, we'll see that she gets her ears checked.
Okay.
All right, Debbie Daly is with us, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call. Let's go over to Culver City. Hi, Culver City. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Debbie Daly. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Phil. Enjoying your program, usually. But I must say that tonight you're breaking all records for hypocrisy. As you know, I'm not a liberal like you, and... the hypocrisy of having a individual, I was told if I say that certain words, I'll be hung up on. Is that, am I to understand that?
Yes, sir.
Well, okay, can I just say what I want to say without having to, I would like to say what I want to say, ma'am. Are you going to help me? Or?
Yeah, let's just let the gentleman say what he wants to say, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. You know, no one out here in your radio audience can understand a thing that this woman is saying. She's going, you know.
Hold on for a minute, Debbie. Hold on. Now, would you put Debbie on hold?
All right, is she on hold?
Yes, sir, she is. Now, what is the problem?
The problem is no one can understand the lady because she's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know that no one can understand her. I know that you know that. You know that I... You know I can't understand her.
I am not given to understand anything other than the lady does a radio show, so she makes herself understood by a lot of people.
Oh, give me a break! No one can understand her. I'm listening to a cacophony of gibbering, the likes of which I haven't heard since the circus came to town. And I say that with the greatest of regard and respect to all those that labor hard and long in the circus business. And I had a brother-in-law who had a financial interest in the old Kylie Brothers circus. And even he would understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight.
Sir, I have Debbie Daly on the show because she is... she's achieved a level of success, the likes of which I don't think a lot of people have achieved.
Oh, come on. She works for public radio. They're going to put her on the air and say she's successful if she's got two people who are room temperature listening to her. Are you kidding?
Now, well, all right. So what is your point?
My point is the hypocrisy of you sitting there and going, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. And you can't understand a thing she's saying, so don't tell me that you do.
Really? Then how is it I'm carrying on a conversation with her?
Well, how do you... a conversation? Here's what it sounds like. Oh, well, hi, Ms. Daly. It sounds like that Outer Limits. Oh, man, I hate you so much.
All righty, then.
What do you want to do?
Well, we're going to go back to Debbie here. That's what I want to do. What do you mean, what do I want to do? We'll get Debbie Daly back on the line. Thank you very much for your call, sir. Debbie, I put you on hold because that man was going to be cantankerous. I knew he was. Do you have a comment at all? You're welcome.
That's the truth, Debbie.
You can really go against the man. You can go against Rush Limbaugh. You know, when you start talking about Rush Limbaugh,
when I talked about Rush Limbaugh, what?
That's when they tell me what you're talking about. But you didn't know talking about me. You didn't talk about mumbling, stuttering, you know, even on your mumbles.
Well, he didn't call you mumbles. No, he didn't.
No, I didn't know you.
He did not say that word. He didn't say mumbles. He said the lady.
You didn't say mumbles.
No, I'm positive he didn't say mumbles. He said the lady.
Yeah, but then he goes, yeah, you get back to mumbles.
Yeah. No, he did not. He didn't say that at all. He started crying, and then he said, I hate you so much, and he hung up on us. I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you.
Because the stipulation is, Phil...
I know what the stipulation... Debbie, one final question before we go to our break. I tell you what. Let's just let you go.
I gotta see a man about a dog.
You gotta see a man about a dog. All right. I wanted to ask if you'd come to California. That'd be really great. She hung up. Debbie Daly, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Cut. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with the superbug of sex in Miami, or excuse me, the superbug of sex in Hawaii, and Rush Limbaugh, the blame game. Are falling ad revenues his fault? And we've been telling you guys about the talk radio business and where it's been headed, and you didn't want to believe me. Well, okay. We'll be right back, world-famous Phil Hendry show. The what?
Phil Hendry.
Yeah. We're going to have the gentleman that just called was Larry Grover from Culver City, Conservatives of Kern County. I've got him and I've got Professor Emery Clayton. And we're going to do a panel tonight, our usual Monday evening seminar, our usual Monday evening roundtable. Tonight it'll be on Rush Limbaugh and the blame game. Are falling ad revenues his fault? That the headline in the article here in the Christian Science Monitor.
That's by Christian Science.
What's that?
What's Christian Science? That.
What's Christian Science?
Yes, it's not. Is that L. Ron Hubbard?
No, that is not L. Ron Hubbard. No, it is not.
Because I saw that picture you took.
I took a pic. Oh, yeah. Bud got all. He was just all jazzed.
I wasn't all jazzed.
Yeah, you were all jazzed. I took a picture of some building in Clearwater, Florida. It's the super building. It's the one that the Scientologists built. And it's been empty for 14 years. It's the most magnificent building I think you've ever seen with nothing going on inside of it, other than the Taj Mahal. You know, that's the closest I can...
Or one of the pyramids.
Yeah, or one of the pyramids.
The Hanging Garden of a Babylon.
The Hanging Garden of a Babylon?
What's that?
Never mind, okay? We don't have to start mentioning buildings that are beautiful that nothing's going on inside of.
What about the Empire State Building? Oh!
What about your head? What do you mean, my head?
Oh, that's real funny. Everybody can it. I'm talking about this Scientology building. I took a picture of it. Now, nearby was a Christian Science reading room.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. That's two completely different religions, okay? One is what that is, and the other is what it is.
Well, what is it?
Which one?
It's not Christian Scientology.
There ain't no Christian Scientology, man. I'm going to start to belt you if you don't watch it, okay?
Doug, I don't know what he's talking about.
Now, easy, Phil. Sometimes he really doesn't understand what you're saying.
Bud. All right, I'm sorry I yelled at you, okay?
I don't know what you mean.
All right, I know you don't know. Christian Science was started in the 19th century by a lady named Mary Baker Eddy, okay?
Eddie who? What did you say?
Eddie who? Bud.
I don't know.
Don't start bawling and then looking to Margaret for help, okay?
He wanted to... What is her name again?
Mary Baker Eddy. Her last name was Eddie. It ain't Eddie who, okay?
Didn't say Eddie who. Is that her name?
Her name is Mary Baker Eddy, not Eddie who.
God, your name is Mary Baker Eddy. What's with you, man? You auditioned for Kong, the Eighth Wonder of the World? Ow!
I'm going to kick your ass. The Scientology Superbuilding. One is Christian Science. That was in the 19th century, and that was Mary Baker Eddy. And Mary Baker Eddy had her philosophy of life. Don't ask me what it was. It's different. And then Scientology was started by a guy named L. Ron Hubbard. And his whole thing is his thing. And the two are different. Now, the reason why you probably are confused, Bud, is the use of the word science. Science is simply a word that means knowledge. Knowledge. And so you have one religion that uses the word science. You have another that uses a part of the word. But the word represents knowledge or learning. That's why you may think that they're related religions. They're not. In the case of the Christian Science Monitor, that's a newspaper.
That they put out.
Yes. The science...
Now, see, you just messed up.
Scientologists?
No, the Christian Science people put it out. Rush Limbaugh blame game. Are ad revenues his falling ad revenues? Are they his fault? Rush Limbaugh says declining ad revenue at talk radio stations that carry his programming isn't a sign that a boycott against him is working. It may have more to do with an expiring contract. Is Rush Limbaugh's harsh rhetoric to blame for declining ad revenue at WABC and other big radio stations that carry his show? That's what the CEO of the firm that owns those stations believes. In particular, Lou Dickey of Cumulus has said that Mr. Limbaugh's 2012 slut comment about Georgetown law student Sandra Fluke cost the firm millions in lost spots. Now, this guy, Lou Dickey, I got a lot to say about. The reason why I say I got a lot, quote, to say about is that Lou Dickey has, every time he opens his yap, he says something really stupid. But that having been said, Mr. Dickey's latest thing is about Limbaugh with the slut comment. In an investor conference call in March, Mr. Dickey alluded to the controversy again. The firm's talk radio revenues have been challenged due to some of the issues that happened a year ago, Dickey said, according to an account in Politico. Now, this is the same Lou Dickey that wanted to take down Rush Limbaugh by putting Mike Huckabee on the air. And, of course, that worked out fantastic there, Lou. So this guy, you know, this is also the same Lou Dickey who said, well, you know, there's no money in digital. And a month later, he says, we're working overtime to see what it is we're missing about digital because, I don't know, last time I checked, Mark Maron, who has only a podcast, now has a series on IFC, has been featured in the New York Times. The guy's all over the world. He's, you know, he's selling ad time on his podcast. Adam Carolla is selling ad time on his podcast. So, Lou, man, you know, quit talking and start working. I know you're the CEO, but hey, sounds like you're doing too much of the bap, 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 right? Now let's get on here. Larry Grover, he is with Conservatives of Kern County, and we're also going to bring on Emery Clayton. And Mr. Clayton, or Professor Clayton, I should say, is a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. Professor Clayton, how are you tonight, sir?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
And Larry?
Phil, before we start, I wanted to say to Professor Clayton, it was wonderful. I met you last year. My daughter takes one of your classes. She was taking a history class, contemporary culture class, I think. What is your daughter's name? It's Mindy Grover, and she lives with her mother, but she is living in the Canyon, in the L.A. Canyon area. I do know Mindy. I'll look her up in class. I think she's still in my class. Yeah, she's got another semester with you, and she says that she loves your class, and I wanted to say thank you very much for that. I will definitely, I thank you too, Mr. Grover. I'll definitely talk to Mindy when I see her. I think she's got my class on Tuesday and Thursday.
I believe so, yes.
Well, that's a nice meeting of the minds there, you two gentlemen. Talking about the education of a young person. And so to that end, let me just begin this, because I know you're both coming from a decidedly different place on Rush Limbaugh and his radio show. Let me start with you, Professor Clayton, and ask you what you think the so-called failure, if you want to call it failure, is of the Rush Limbaugh show. Why the falling ad revenues? Do you agree with Lou Dickey there of Cumulus that his attitude is causing that problem, or do you agree that with Mr. Limbaugh when he says that it's his contract that's expiring?
Can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Yeah, correct. I just paid Professor Clayton, Emery Clayton, a compliment, and you're letting him go first. I have no problem with you going first, Professor Clayton. I just wondered, after I was magnanimous.
Well, the word is magnanimous. If you're asking why you can't go first...
I'm not done yet. Hold on. I was being I'm sorry?
Magnanimous.
I was being magnanimous, and I was wondering why I can't go first.
All right, Mr. Grover, you may go first.
Now, hold the phone here. All right, never mind. Never mind.
All right, thank you very much, Bill. Well, all right, so you wanted to say something, Professor? I'll let you say something.
I was going to say something, but I, in the interest of moving this along, go right ahead.
Well, now I think I look like a baby.
The floor is yours, Mr. Grover. Please take the floor. I'm not going to change again.
Well, that's what, let me start by saying that's what she said. And,
I guess I dropped the ball with that one, too. That's what she said. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you feel better? No, I do not feel better. When you say ha, 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 do you feel better? In any event...
Please.
In any event, Rush Limbaugh has been the voice of conservatism in this country for many years. Since 1988, Rush Limbaugh has been showing people how it's done. Rush Limbaugh has shown generation after generation of conservative what good, solid, Main Street conservative thinking is. And he's shown generation after generation of broadcasters and talk show hosts how to do an entertaining and informative radio show. And I think it's a sad situation when they can't wait to string him up and watch him twist in the breeze as ad revenues fall. Now, I will tell you that, in my opinion, I think the ad revenues are falling as the result of a lack of initiative and a lack of good hard work on the part of the radio stations and the people that are supposed to sell the advertising. I think things have come too easy for those people, and I think when you have to get out and work hard, especially in an economy that has been given to us like this one by Mr. Obama, then I think, well, you may find that funny, Professor.
I find it very funny, yeah.
But I think that when that's the case, Rush Limbaugh has to rely on this generation of people who are not used to working hard, but want everything to fall in their lap. And when I say fall in their lap, I'm not just talking about money, and I'm not just talking about orders, but the other kinds of things that will fall into your lap, if you know what I mean. And they aren't things necessarily. Sometimes they wear lipstick.
Okay, we get that point. I would remind you, both of you gentlemen, that this is a radio program still governed by the Federal Communications Commission.
I apologize. I will just simply say that life is not falling into people's laps. And I think that Rush, I don't know why I wanted to call him Harvard. I was going to call him Harvey.
Is it my turn?
No, it is not. I still have a few.
Well, your time is up, though, Mr. Grover.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Here's Professor Emory Clayton.
Thank you, Phil. I'm an educator, and I will tell you that I think what you just heard there from this gentleman, Mr. Grover, was an example of some confused thinking. I'm not going to go too deeply into what I think was wrong with Mr. Grover's presentation, other than to say there at the very tail end, when he could have wrapped it up neatly, you heard him trailing off in a rather befuddled way, going, well, okay. And I think that that is the way that a great many of these conservatives, and I will also say a great many of these whites. Now, I don't want to be racial anything.
No, not much. God almighty, Henry, are you going to do stuff about this?
Hold on for a minute. The man's entitled to his opinion.
That's what my assumption is, that we live in the United States of America, correct? Do we live in the United States of America?
Yes, we do.
All right, then I'm going to say what I want to say, sir. If you don't mind, sir.
Go ahead.
I think Rush Limbaugh is an example of, and I think I just heard Debbie Daly say it, and I listen to Debbie Daly. I'm sorry if you don't understand what Debbie Daly says. I happen to support the rights of people who are disabled. I happen to support the rights of women that are disabled. I happen to support the rights of minority people that are disabled. And so Debbie Daly represents all three. She's disabled, she's a woman, and she's a minority. And if you want to get even more specific, she's not a particularly attractive woman. And so she does not fall into that favored nation status of attractive people, good-looking women. Let me just cut to the chase. Women have got great butts and breasts that will draw the attention of society and eventually allow them a place at the table, at the trough, if you will. Debbie Daly has surmounted and defeated all obstacles. And I think she does a wonderful program. And I agree with her when she says that Limbaugh, the reason why he is failing is because Limbaugh is a slob. He's a racist. And I think that people have grown tired of his bombast and so forth and so on.
Okay, Professor, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll wrap up with these two gentlemen here as they debate why it is Rush Limbaugh's ad revenues are dropping at many of his bigger stations. Is it because of the message, or is it because of the economy? Is it because of what he has said, or is it simply because of bad timing? For instance, his contract is coming up. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You're a white man. Yeah, I'm a white man. So what? So I'm white. Just because Mr. Hendry was speaking religion with Dan Northcraft there during the break.
And by the way, that's one other thing. You're talking like you're all, you know, Mr. Broadcasting.
I don't understand. What do you mean, Mr. Broadcasting?
Well, you know, during the break.
I'm telling you that what I heard Mr. Hendry saying to Dan Northcraft was a simple discussion.
All right, let me jump in here because we have people. We're coming back from the break. Dan and I were talking about Christian Science, and we were talking because Dan was raised in that religion. And we were discussing Mary Baker Eddy, and it had nothing whatsoever to do with what you guys are talking about.
No, it didn't, but it doesn't sit well with me, Mr. Hendry, when I hear you, by your own admission, a man with only a high school education, and you're sitting there and you're all, yeah, Mary Baker Eddy, hey. Boy, that bugs me.
Why does that bug you? Does it bug you because Mr. Hendry knows something you don't know?
No, that's not it at all.
Then why is it?
Why is what?
Why is that bugging you that I was talking to Dan about that?
Because the focus should be on what we're talking about, which is Rush Limbaugh, and what causes him to lose revenue at a time when we need the conservative message more than anything else.
Mr. Hendry was talking during a commercial break, or am I using big broadcasting terms?
Yeah, I think you are, and I think it's not right. Because it makes you sound like you're all in with the broadcasting thing, and I sound like some guy paddling it. Okay, there, I said it.
Okay, are you guys done?
Mr. Henry, I've been done. I'm trying to tell this guy.
You're not telling me anything.
Hold on, Debbie Daly is here. Now, Debbie has something to say to you, Professor Emery, Professor Clayton, and that I think, quite frankly, should be said. And let's get Debbie on the line here. Debbie is in Miami tonight. Debbie, go ahead.
I did not say you had a face that would stop time, Debbie. I said what I did say.
Well, you knew that I wouldn't have any homie.
What I said, Ms. Daly, I listen to your program. I support you 150%. And I said...
Yeah, but you knew that I wouldn't have any money.
May I just say what I... All right, go ahead and reset the table. That's correct. That is correct, yes. Yes. I did not use the word ugly.
To be fair, he didn't say ugly, Debbie. What do you mean you'll get to me later?
Oh my God, you just sounded like a man. What is that supposed to mean, one of us has to?
Because I mean when you're
I don't think he said you were ugly. He said that you were not the classic big boobs and butt thing, that you were, you know, I think he was paying you a compliment.
Absolutely. I was trying to pay you a compliment by saying that you don't walk into a room with your big breasts and your butt looking... Well, all right. What difference does it make what I like? I'm saying that you are all woman. You are a woman, Ms. Daly, that has overcome so much. You've overcome the stigmata of excuse me, I happen to be a professor of urban studies. That doesn't mean what?
What's she saying?
The she's right. The word is stigma, not stigmata. Stigmata is a religious...
All right. You have overcome the stigma of not talking good. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. What is it called? Verbally impaired. I'm sorry. You've overcome that. You've overcome the fact that you've got a... Man, you ain't good to look at. Hold on. What I'm trying to say is, when you walk into a room, Ms. Daly, you command the respect of all people there. You're not walking in with big, huge... Jeez.
You're not helping your case here.
I know that. I'm trying to make a point. Boy! Oh! You hear what she called me, boy? Didn't you? I didn't say you had big boobs out of respect for you, and you call me boy? You can't call me boy. Just because you're verbally impaired doesn't mean... Man, I'm gonna... Oh, I wanna hurt.
All right, hold on, okay?
No, I ain't holding nothing. If I hold on to anything, it's gonna be the back of her head as she...
Thank you. We'll be right back. That's very uncharacteristic there.
You called him boy in here. You're going to be in trouble.
Take it easy, bud. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Oh, my God.